Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Daf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Dalad Amud Aleph, 16 lines from the top. Tanya, Acherim Omer Mishim Reb Elezer. Acherim saying the name of Reb Elezer, Beya Toichel, an egg that's laid on Yontif, it may be eaten, hi ve'ima. It and the hen from which this egg was laid, both may be eaten on Yontif. Ask the Gemara Maiskinen, exactly what is the subject that Reb Elezer is discussing? Because as we're learning the Mishnah, and as we've been learning the last two blot, the Mishnah talked about a beya that's born on Yontif, and the Mishnah said there's a machloikis beis Shammai and beis Hillel if it may be eaten or may not be eaten. Beis Hillel said it may not be eaten. Beis Shammai said it may be eaten. We've given four explanations. The Gemara has given four explanations in explaining that machloikis. The first explanation was an explanation of Rav Nachman that said it's a question of muksa, Beis Shammai being mekel, Beis Hillel being machmer. The next explanation was the explanation of Rava that said that all Yontif and Shabbos meals have to be prepared on a weekday, and therefore if Yontif came out on Sunday, if the egg is laid on Sunday, that means that that egg was prepared the day before, and therefore it can't be eaten because it was prepared on Shabbos, and that's why Chazal said that an egg ever laid on Yontif is prohibited. Another reason is because of mashkin shezovel. An egg that comes out of a chicken is similar to juice that oozes out of a fruit, which is asur. And the fourth reason we said is because of peiros hanoshrim, an egg that comes out is like fruit that fell from a tree, just like fruit that falls from a tree may not be eaten, so not an egg. So the Gemara wants to understand, here Reb Elezer is saying that you may eat such an egg. So what type of egg are we talking about? Ask the Gemara, Elaim Batana Goyles HaMedes L'Chila. They were talking that the hen was designated for eating, and therefore on Yontif it's not Muksa, because you're allowed to Shecht on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Pshita Dehivi Ima Sharya. Certainly it may be eaten, because it's not Muksa. And as the Gemara taught us on that base, the egg is Uchla de Ifris, it's part of the mother, and it too may be eaten. The Rajba asks a Gevaldig Akasha. He says, on that beis on the beis, when the Gemara taught us Rav Nachman's reason, that it's muksa, so the Gemara said that if Rav Nachman's explanation in the Mishnah is correct, why does the Mishnah only speak about the egg? The Mishnah should speak about the hen also. And that was the reason the Gemara wasn't satisfied with Rav Nachman's pshat. And all of a sudden here now the Gemara is saying that we have no problem mentioning it and its mother. Pshita dehivi ima sharya. Says the Rajba, that when we're talking about a beya, haimedes legadol beyim, so then we need to understand it and its mother. But when we're talking about beya, medes lachila, that's not when the Gemara asked the question, why do you have to mention the mother? Obviously you don't have to mention the mother. If the child, if the egg is mutter, then the mother is automatically mutter. Ella, we're going to say, betana goyles haimedes legadol beyim, that it's a chicken that's designated to raise eggs. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then the chicken is muksa, and the child is muksa. Hi ve'ima asura. So how does Reb Elezer say that they're both mutter? So the Maharam Shif asks, it's mashmat, the only problem here is, because if it's a beya, if it's chicken that's a medes legadol beyim, then the psak is wrong. But not for that, I have no problem mentioning the hen and the egg. Why? Why do you have to mention both? Answers the Maharam Shif. And we've been speaking about this concept, that a hen is a very high level of muksa, because it's a balchai. So if the halach would be that it's mutter, to say that a hen, which is a balchai, is not muksa, is a very bechidish. The only problem the Gemara asks is, how could the Braisa say that it's mutter when it's indeed asr? So therefore, Rav Zeira has a whole new pshan in this Braisa. Om Rav Zeira, toichel agav ima. What the Braisa means, you can eat the hen, the egg, because of its mother. Was the Gemara asks, hey chidami, what does that mean? Omra ba'ik, you're going to block or stam. You bought a hen, didn't designate it's for eating, didn't designate it's for eggs. Nishchata, if you end up shechting that hen, huvera de lachila medes, that's the best proof that that chicken was designated for eating, and therefore you may eat the egg also. Loi nishchata, but if it wasn't slaughtered, huvera de legadol beyim medes, it's obvious that it's made legadol beyim. And therefore, it may not be eaten, and the egg may not be eaten. So the way the Shita Mekubetzis explains this Gemara is we're relying on Breira. Retroactive understanding what it was. It says the Shita Mekubetzes. Although throughout Shas, we know the halacha is that we don't rely on Breira. That's only by a Daraisa. Here we're dealing with a Drabanon, so by the Rabbanons we rely on Breira. So ask all the Rishonim. So what's Rabbi Eliezer telling us? That if we end up shechting the chicken, it's a proof that it was a medes l'gadol, a medes l'achila, and it's not muksa. Ask the old Rishonim, who says that? Beishamai. Beishamai says you're allowed to eat the egg. Beis Hillel says you're not. So is Rabbi Eliezer holding like Beishamai, not like Beis Hillel? So two answers are given. One answer is that we know throughout Shas, Rabbi Eliezer is a Talmud of Beishamai. So he taka paskins like Beishamai, even though Beis Hillel doesn't hold that way. Or another explanation is a very nice explanation. Rava, we explained, says the issue here is Achana de Rava. But when Rava said his reasoning, he said, really, when is there only a problem? If Yontif is on Sunday. The Chazal, Rava said, took it a step further and said, not only if Yontif is on Sunday, even if Yontif is during the week, we make a gzeira. Rabbi Eliezer will agree that if Yontif is on Sunday, you're not allowed to eat the egg. What is the Braisa talking about? The Braisa is speaking in a situation where Yontif was during the week. When Yontif was during the week, there Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree that we should expand the gzeira. Rav Meri has a different explanation of this Braisa. Guzmik Tani. The word Guzmik means an exaggeration. What does it mean? That the Braisa is teaching us that really it's obvious that if you're allowed to eat the egg, you're allowed to eat the mother. Just sometimes the Braisa mention extra thing that's not necessary. And we'll give such an example in a moment. So the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. We just had a beautiful Lom de Shetaretz. That Breira, you bought a chicken, we don't know what you meant. And Huvra Adover, we could rely on Breira. So why would Rameri say such a teretz guzma, that the Braisa is really just an exaggeration, when you have such a nice teretz? So the Mefarshim answer, and this is a concept that we've been discussing, and we'll discuss again in Mitzvah Shem, is that Muksa is not a regular Drabonon. By regular Drabonon, we know, like we said a moment ago, we can rely on Breira. But as we said twice in the previous year, Tosfos Shoshanim, the Rashba, all teach us that Muksa is a higher level Drabonon. So Rav Meri is saying, how is Rav Zeir explaining the Braisa? That we're relying on Breira. But Breira we can only use by a Drabonon. Muksa is not your regular Drabonon. So we can't rely on Breira. So Rav Meri was forced to say another explanation of the Braisa. What is the explanation of the Braisa? That it's a guzma. And we see that. The Tanya Achim, Oim Mishim Rabbi Lezer, there's another Braisa that says, Deya Toichu Hivi Ima, an egg may be eaten in its mother, Vechvarifikli Pasa, you can eat a chick and a shell. Ask the Gemara, Mike Klipasa, what does the Braisa mean when it says a shell? Ilei Meklipa Mamish, that you're allowed to eat the shell. Ask the Gemara, Klipa Basachilihi, can anyone eat a shell? Ella, what does it mean? Afroich beklipasoi. That when the chick is still in its shell, the Braisa is teaching us that you're allowed to eat it. Ask the Gemara, we're going to have a Gemara in that fall. At Kamloi Pligar Lei Rabbanon Alei Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. There's a machloik between Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. Alehecha de Yotzlavia Oilam. If the chick came out of its shell, when is it permitted? Do you have to wait for the eyes to open or not? Alehecha de Yotzlavia Oilam. If the chick didn't come out of the shell, like Ligi. Everybody agrees that it's Osir. So what's the Braisa saying? You're allowed to eat it. No, what do you have to say Pshan and the Braisa is? El Afroich Vilkliposoi. It means you're allowed to eat the chick in its shell. Guzma. It's an exaggeration. The Braisa just want to show you how mutter it is. Hachanami toichel hiva ima. Even though there is no reason to tell me that the mother is mutter, because it's a Bei HaMedes Lachila. So if the chick, if the egg is mutter, certainly the mother is mutter. Guzma. The Braisa went and exaggerated. Itmar. Says the Gemara, Shabbos for Yontif. We have two consecutive days. Shabbos and Yontif. Rav Amenol de Bezeh, Sur Bezeh. If the egg was born, and the example we'll give is that Friday was Yontif, and then we have Shabbos. So Rav says that if the egg is born on Friday, not only on Friday may you not eat it, you're not allowed to eat that egg even on the following day, Shabbos. Rav Yochanan Amenol de Bezeh, Meteres Bezeh. That if it's born on Friday, it's mutter to be eaten on Shabbos. Name. So the Gemara wants to say, what is the machloik between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? Ksavah Rav Kedusha Achasi. When you have 2 days Shabbos Yontif consecutive, they're one long Kedusha, and since it's also on the day it's born, it remains also on the next day. Ask the Gemara, Vamar Rav, we're going to learn a Gemara, Halach Kabe Zakenim, and Valiba de Rabbi Lezer, the Halach is, Domeshtei Kedusha saying, that when you have 1 day Yontif and the next day Shabbos, it's not considered one long Yontif. So what is the machloikish? The machlokes is, do we subscribe to Achana the Rabba? Rav is like Achana the Rabba. Rav subscribes to it. And therefore, Rav tells us that if the egg was born on Friday, which is Yontif, you can't eat it on Shabbos. Because as we've been saying, at the introduction of our today's show, we said, the Rav tells us that all Shabbos meals require Achana on a weekday. Here Achana was on Friday. Rav Yochanan less like Chana the Rava, and therefore, even though this egg was born on Friday on Yontif, it's permitted. So Taisus asks two important Taisus. The first Taisus is like this. Taisus says, what's the discussion here? If the egg was born on Friday Yontif, there's no disagreement that on that day it's Asr. It's our Mishnah. Beisil tells us that the day the egg is laid, it's Asr. How long is it Asr? Until Friday night. Bein HaShemashos. And we have a klal, migad is katsayla bein ha-shmashis, is katsayla kula yayma. So once it's muksa Friday night, it should automatically be muksa the next day Shabbos. So Taisus tells us, and actually Taisus said this halacha, we had this Taisus at the end of Masechet Sukkah. Taisus says, why is it muksa Friday? Not because of Shabbos. It's muksa because Friday bein ha-shmashis may still be Friday. Muksa machmas yom shavar, something that's muksa only because of the previous day, we don't say. And that's why you can't consider it muksa. Taisus says, an exception to this rule may be muksa machmas mitzvah. And I saw two very nice halach lemaisa built on Taisus. One is as follows. The Mefarshim discuss, in Chutz La'aretz it can't happen, but it could happen in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say Shvi'i Shel Pesach is on Friday. So Shvi'i Shel Pesach is Pesach for everyone. The eighth day, which is Pesach for us, but it's not Pesach for our brethren in Israel. So would they be allowed to eat chametz that was baked by a goy? So on one hand you would say, Migad is katsoyla ben ishmosh. Since Friday ben ishmosh they can't eat chametz yet, it's katsoyla kula yoyma. But on the other hand, Taisus just taught us that if it's only muksa, machmas yoyim sha'ovar, here it's only muksa on Friday evening because of Friday, not because of Shabbos, perhaps it should be permitted. The Paiskim say they're not allowed to eat chametz baked by a goy, because we were dealing with a deraisa, and that's why you have to be more machmer. The Stipler discusses another situation. In our calendar, this couldn't happen. But in the calendar, when they had Kiddush HaChodesh Pi Edim, it could happen. The Stipler says, what would it be if Yom Kippur was on Friday? Yom Kippur was on Friday, and then you have Shabbos. So maybe you shouldn't, if Taisus were incorrect, you would not be allowed to eat on Shabbos. Because all food is muksa on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat food. If we say migad is katsoyla ben ha-shmashis is katsoyla kula yoyma, then the fruit should become muksa on Shabbos too, says the stipler, but Taisus taught us that muksa machmas yoyim sha'avar, we don't say, and that's why it's not muksa. The stipler has another question. We don't have time to discuss it now. The stipler has a question. We know that Yom Kippur, the halacha is, we have to have Taisus Yom Kippur. We have to take Yom Kippur later. So when ben ha-shmash is Friday, you're not allowed to eat because it's Taisus Yom Kippurim. So why doesn't it become muksa? So he says, because Taisus Yom Kippurim is really only an extension of Friday. It's not the beginning of Shabbos, and that's why it's not considered muksa. But then there's the next Taisus. Taisus asks that in our Gemara, we're discussing a situation where the egg was born on Friday, and the Gemara is saying the question is, Chana de Rabba. Ask Taisus that in the previous shurim we learned, that any egg that's born in a day, really when was it completed? The day before. So if the egg was born on Friday, when was it completed? On Thursday. Thursday was Erev Yontif. So why is there a problem here? So says Taisus, two answers. The first answer, he says, is that although we've been learning in Gemara that an egg is prepared the day before it's actually hatched, doesn't mean that it's not born, that there's no hachana when it's actually born. So although the egg was born on Friday, and there was certainly Achana on Thursday, but there was also Achana on Yontav on Friday, and that's why there's an issue. That's Taisus's first teretz. Then Taisus has a very nice teretz, a second teretz. Taisus says that if the egg was, what would have been if the egg was born on Shabbos? Then there would be no discussion. The egg is certainly Asr. It's our Mishnah. Why are we saying the egg is Mutter? Because it was born on Friday and not on Shabbos. So what makes the egg Mutter to be eaten? The fact that it was born on Friday. The fact that it was born on Yontif. And something, and Yontif can't be Mechen for Shabbos. What's the nafkamina between the two Terutzim? Says the Mashah. According to the first teretz, it's full-fledged achana. It's achana daraisa. According to the second teretz, it's only achana drabona. There's one more question that I saw, many more questions. One more question that we want to speak out. The Mefarshim ask. The Gemara says that what is the concern here? The concern is hachana. That if the egg was born on Friday, it's hachana. The question, do you hold of hachana or not? If you hold that the reason in the Mishnah is out smuksa, so we already explained that Taisa says muksa is not a factor here. Because it's smuksa because muksa machma yom shavar. Ask Mefarshim, but we in our introduction, in the previous shiurim, gave two other reasons why the egg is asar. Peiros hanoshrim, and mashkin shazavu. So why doesn't the Gemara say that if the reason is because of peiros hanoshrim, and mashkin shazavu, that also the egg would not be mutter on Yontif, on Shabbos after Yontif. That the Machloikis says, do you hold that concept or not? The Gemara just ignores those reasons. Why? So I saw a beautiful answer. Mashkin shazavu. Why did Chazal say Mashkin Shazavu is Asur? Because we're concerned that if you're going to drink the juice that came out by itself, you may come to squeeze the fruit. Peiros HaNoshrim, why are you not allowed to eat fruit that drops from the tree? Because we're afraid that you're going to cut the fruit off if you're going to eat the fruit that falls down by itself. Here, Chazal tells us that the day it fell down, you're not allowed to eat it. Given that you're not allowed to eat it the day it fell down, you're adequately sensitized that you're not allowed to cut fruit. That you're not allowed to squeeze fruit. And therefore, you would be allowed to eat it on Yontif. That's why the Gemara only says that. Who is the mandamah that says you can't eat it on Shabbos after Yontif? Only the mandamah that holds the concern of Achana the Rabbah. Says the Gemara, Ketanoi. This machlokes of Rabbah and Rabbi Yochanan is actually machlokes tanoim. Because the Braisa says, Noidel b'Shabbos, Toichel b'Yontif. If you have Friday, if you have Shabbos Yontif consecutive, Noidel b'Shabbos, Toichel b'Yontif, b'Yontif Toichel b'Shabbos, Yudai Mishrim Belezer, Adaini Machloikis, it's Machloikis, Shebesham Raimim Teichel, or Beisel Raimim Loi Teichel. I saw a Gvaldig Akash from the Tzlach. I don't really have an answer to the question. Maybe somebody could come up with a good answer. Throughout Shas, we have like this. If there's a Machloikis Amaroim, and then we have a Machloikis Tanoim that is the same Machloikis, ask the Gemara, Kitanoi, what are the Maroim arguing? It's already Machloikis Tanoim. Here, the Gemara doesn't do this. The Gemara just does just the opposite. We have Machloikis Amaroim, and then the Gemara says, oh, you know, this Machloikis Amaroim is also Machloikis Tanoim. So Gemara is not asking it as a question. The Gemara is bringing it as a proof. Very different from what we find throughout Shas. It's a question that I really don't have an answer to. It says the Gemara, Ish bezichni de Rav Ada Bar Hava, the innkeeper, the host of Rav Ada Bar Hava, Hava lehanach beis miyontif l'shabbos. He had eggs that were born on Yontif, and the question was that he wanted to eat them on Shabbos. Osla kamei, and he asked him, Ma lo tavinu idnu, may I cook these eggs, may I roast these eggs today on Yontif, v'nachlinu l'mocher, to eat them tomorrow. Omle, may daitach, why do you ask this question? Because you think, the Rav Rav Yochanan, that wherever we have machlokes and shas, between Rav and Rav Yochanan, halacha k'Rav Yochanan. And therefore Rav Yochanan will agree, that for Rav Yochanan says we'll not eat it the next day. Said, Rav Ada Bar Hava to him, Afilu Rav Yochanan lo shor el goyim lemocha. He said the next day you can eat it raw. Ab b'yoymei, roasted on the day he was born. It's complete mukser. Lo, you're not allowed to touch it. V'tanya, Tanya here's the raya, as we learned in the Braisa. Achas pei shenol b'shabbos. V'achas pei shenol b'yontif. Ein matapim lo, so you're not allowed to touch it. Lo l'chas bo yis akeli, v'lo lismach bo karamita. So certainly today you're not allowed to touch it. So your question is that you want to roast it today, so you can eat it tomorrow. Today it's a complete muksa, it's not touchable. And the Magen Avraham says, based on this Gemara, we see that we're not even allowed to ask a goyish worker to cook muksa for us. Otherwise, why didn't the Gemara say that he should have asked maybe his non-Jewish cook to cook the eggs? It's a proof that muksa may not be touched even by the goy on behalf of a Jew. But there's a gevaldig kasha that I saw. What is the story here? We had Yontif on Friday, and the next day was Shabbos. And the question was, could you cook on Friday to eat it on Shabbos? We learned the Gemara in the Masechta Pesachim that you're not allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos. And the Gemara said, even with Erev Tavshilin, if you're not allowed to cook from one day to the next day, Erev Tavshilin can't help you. So what was the reason you're allowed to cook, at least with Erev Tavshilin? Because Hoylo Mikalei Orchim. Since if guests would come, I could give it to them, so that's why I'm cooking. Maybe with the air of Tashilin, I could eat it the next day. But here, I couldn't cook it. On the day it's born, everybody agrees. There's no machlokes that you can't eat it. So you don't have a hoyel. So what was his question that should be allowed to cook it today, Yontif? Gevaldige kasha. You don't have a hoil. So Mefarshim are very grappled with this question. Some say that since you could feed it to a child, if your child needed to eat it, you could give it to him, so he could say hoil. Others say, difficult answer, since other eggs are permitted, this egg is together with all the other eggs. Another answer I saw is like this. This whole concept of hoil and erev tashlim is only with the rabbonim. With the raisa, you can cook for the next day. So since with the raisa, this whole concept of muksa is only the rabbonim. So since with the raisa, there's no issue of muksa, you could cook. So with the raisa, it is acceptable. With the raisa, I can't say hoil, and that's why his question was legitimate. Continues the Gemara. Ishbechisne the rapapa. The innkeeper of Rapapa, Vamlai, who gathered the Osla Kamei Rapapa. There was this person that came to Rapapa. Havlai Hanach Beim, Mishabbos Liyantav. There were eggs that were laid on Shabbos, and the question was, could he eat it on the next day, Yontav? Osla Kamei. So he came to Rapapa to ask him, Omalei Ma'alu Mechlinu Lamacha. These eggs were born today on Shabbos, may I eat them tomorrow on Yontav? Omalei Zilla Idna B'tzal Lamacha. Come back tomorrow. Why? Because I'm following the practice of my Rebbe Rav. The Rav Lemukah Amor Alei, B'yontah L'chaveri. Rav, after he ate the yontif meal, never paskened the shayla until the next day. Because since in the yontif meal, he drank wine, and when somebody drinks wine, he can't paskin the shayla. And the way the Ratvaz explains the Gemara, is really al pidin, he was allowed to paskin. For two reasons. First of all, you don't have to wait till the next day. You only have to wait until the wine dissipates. Moreover, says the Ritvaz, the only thing you're not allowed to say is halacha l'maisa. To say a drasha that it doesn't have halacha l'maisa, you're allowed to. However, he says, Rapop and Rav's practice was, when they said shiurim, they said halacha l'maisa. And they were, and still says the Ritvaz, if it's a halacha that everybody knows, that's obvious, you could paskin it. But they were machmer that they waited till the next day. So he says, I don't want to paskin today, I just drank wine, come back tomorrow. Mishum shikris. So when this person came the next day, it's great that I didn't pass confu yesterday. Had I told you yesterday, I would have made an error. Because I would have told you that throughout Shas we have a klal, Rav Reb Yochanan, Halach Reb Yochanan. And Reb Yochanan said that the egg was born on Shabbos, it may be eaten on the next day Yontif. But Ha'omer Rava, now I remembered, that I don't have the effect of wine on me, that Hilchasa Kavasi the Rav Bahani Tlas, we paskin like Rav in these three shilas, Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra. What are the three shilas? One is an egg born on Shabbos may be eaten the next day Yontif, or vice versa, that we paskin like Rav that you may not. Another is, the next two shilas, the shilas we're going to discuss in the coming Shiurim, are the 2 days of Yontif that we keep in Chutz Laaretz, one Kedusha, two Kedushas. And the third shaila is, are the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that we keep one Kedusha, two Kedushas. Rav says regular Yontif Sheni Shagolias is two Kedushas. Yontif, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is one Kedusha. Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Oitzim Shenoshru Menadek L'Shabbos. Again, we have a situation, we have Shabbos and then Yontif. Wood that falls off a tree is Osir. So if that wood fell off the tree on Shabbos, certainly you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos, but even you're not allowed to use it the next day Yontif. Osla Sika B'Yontif, says Rabbi Yochanan to himself, V'alti Shiveni Beya, I'm the mandama that said by Beya, that if the Beya was born one day, the first day being Shabbos and Yontif, you could eat it the next day. Says Rabbi Yochanan a beautiful explanation. My timer, Beya M'shin B'Yoyim Enami Chazal L'Gama. The day the egg could be eaten raw. So if the egg was laid on Shabbos, which was the first day. Theoretically, it could have been edible. I could have eaten it raw. I don't have to cook it. And now Chazal don't allow you to even eat that egg raw. Made the idea, so it's obvious, and everybody will know, the Bas Yoyim Asrua, that the egg, the day it's born, is prohibited. Only afterwards, it's permitted. Eitzim. But what happens if wood falls down on Shabbos? The wood that falls down on Shabbos is useless, because the wood is used for fuel. But you can't make a fire in Shabbos. So on Shabbos, it's useless. Ishar le'lamachar, says Rav Yochanan, if tomorrow, Sunday, Yontif, I'll allow you to use that wood. Oslameimah, people are going to make the mistake to think, that even the day that the wood falls down, it's permitted. But that's not true. Because Esmoel, Mishim Shabbos, it's they'll think that it's permitted. And yesterday I didn't use it because Shabbos, I can't make a fire. So that's why even I agree, says Rabbi Yochanan, that even though I hold that if an egg was born on Shabbos, it can't be eaten or touched on Shabbos, it could be eaten the next day. By wood that fell, I will agree that if the wood fell on Shabbos, certainly on the day it fell, it's osur, but even the yontif that comes the next day, I can't use that wood. Amar Rav Masna, Eitzim Shenoshim Nadekel, wood that falls off a tree. So before we go further, we just spoke about the wood that falls from the tree. What is the issue with this wood? So the Rishonim give two problems. One is it's muksa, because this wood was part of the tree on Friday evening. Something that's part of the tree became muksa. Can't touch it. Have no use for it. And this is a muksa that the Rishonim say that even Rav Shimon, who has a more limited view of muksa, will agree to. Others say that what's the problem with Eitzim Shenashru? It's like Peiros HaNoshrim. Just like we said a few times, that fruit that falls down is prohibited. Wood that falls down is prohibited. So Eitzim Shenashrim and Adekel. You have here wood that falls off the tree, Amra Masna, L'taychatana, and it falls into a furnace. The Yontif, and it falls down in Yontif. So even though this wood is Osir, for the two reasons we just gave, says the Gemara, Maba Le'etzim Uchonim, you could take wood, which is not muksa, wood that you had prepared for firewood, and then even though you have in this furnace this non-acceptable wood, burn the whole, use the whole wood as firewood, or masikin. Ask the Gemara, become a hapach bisura. But we just said that the wood is muksa. How could you touch it? Says the Gemara, kivin deruba da teraninu. Most of the wood in here is permitted wood. Ki kama hapach, but teru kama hapach. You're not, we follow the majority. So the way that we try to explain, it's beautiful. We said that there are two concerns with this wood. One is muksa, and one is that it's peiros hanoshrim. Explain the Rishonim. The issue of muksa is resolved, because the halach is you're not allowed to touch muksa in a regular fashion. But if you touch it indirectly, tiltum menatzad is mutter. So you're not touching the muksa directly, you're just moving it indirectly. So the issue of muksa is resolved. What is the problem of peiros hanoshrim? That problem is resolved by having more non-problematic wood than having problematic wood. Since it's derived, ask the Gemara, but there's another issue. We have a klal throughout Shas that you're not allowed to be mevatel isser. Now let's say, classical example, let's say you'll have something non-kosher fall into your pot, and we need shishim, you need 60 times the non-kosher item, you don't have it, so you'll add more kosher product until you have shishim. It's osur. Here too, you have the non-acceptable wood, and we're saying that you should put in more acceptable wood. Ask the Gemara, v'komevatel isur l'chatchilo. But now we have a rule, we learned in the Mishnah, ein mevatel isur l'chatchilo. Answers the Gemara, hani mili b'doraisa. When do we say ein mevatel isur l'chatchilo? When we're dealing with a doraisa. Avu b'drabonon, mevatel. Here we're dealing with a drabonon, we're allowed to mevatel. So there's a number of points. First of all, the Ran says, you can only do this given two conditions. Number one condition the Ran says, the Rajba says the same, is if when you had the non-acceptable wood fall into the furnace, there was already acceptable wood. So it's not that you have a situation that you only have non-acceptable wood, and then you're putting in acceptable wood. You have acceptable wood and non-acceptable wood. Just the acceptable wood is not derived. Then you can add. But if you only had the non-acceptable wood, the Gemara would never allow to add acceptable wood. Furthermore, says the Ran and the Rajba, this Eitza only works if you can't identify the non-acceptable wood. But let's say the acceptable wood is a very different type than the non-acceptable wood. This is one type of tree, that's another type of tree. Then you cannot rely on Bittel Isser in this situation. Ask the Mefarshim, based on what we've been saying all along, that muksa, we said, in the name of the Tosfos Yeshayahu, the Rajba is not a regular Drabonon. So the Gemara is saying here that by a Drabonon, I say Bittel Isser, but we said the muksa is not a regular Drabonon. So how can we consider it like a regular Drabonon? So Mefarshim say there are two types of muksa. There's muksa, something you're not allowed to eat, and muksa is something that you're not allowed to touch. What type of muksa does the Tosfos Yeshayahu and Rajba hold has a status above a regular Drabonon? Muksa lachila. Here we're talking about wood. Wood you don't eat. That is the status of a regular Drabon. As Taisfis, we had a Gemara, the last Gemara that we learned on Daftal Raman Aleph in the previous year, that when you had Truma Drabon on, and the Gemara question was, when can we remevatel it? How can't we remevatel it? Can we ask Taisfis? The Gemara just said, by a Drabonon, we could add more Heta to Isser. So we could add more Heta to Isser. So what's the discussion? We were talking about Truma Drabonon. Add enough till you be Mevatalit. Says Taisvis, a very big Yisoy. When the Gemara says here, by a Drabonon, we rely on Bittel Isser, that's only by a Drabonon that has no basis in the Torah. Like Muksa. There is no hint of Muksa in the Torah. But Truma, even Truma Drabonon, it does have a basis in the Torah, because Truma is a deraisa concept. Even when you're dealing with Truma Drabonon, we don't say Bittel Issa L'Chatchila. So we're actually limiting when we're allowed to say Bittel Issa L'Chatchila quite considerably. And the Gemara will continue to limit it. So I saw the Sharm Tzion Balocha asks a Gevaldige Kasha. He says, if we're learning that Bittel Issa L'Chatchila is Osir, how could you ever kasher a pat? What do we do when we have a non-kosher pat? We have a pat. It absorbed a non-kosher belia. And what does kashering do? It's mevatel. It nullifies that belia. It makes it go away. We just learned the bitl isl chatchila is asr. And there could be a deraisadig belia. Said the Sharm Tzion Balocha, a gvaldig chiddush. When do we say bitl isl chatchila? When we want to keep the davar asr. Let's use Algamar as an example. We have this non-acceptable wood, the muksa wood. We want that wood. We want to use it as fuel. The issue is that we're not allowed to use it, so mevatel it. But I still want that wood. I'm using it as fuel. When I kasher a pot, I don't want the bleed to remain there. The whole point of kashering is to remove the absorption. Then you could do bitl isl chatchila. Another chiddush, he says, is that bitl isl chatchila is only relevant when it's already osur. What's the example he gives? We're not that familiar with this. When you collect the kernels to make matzah, the wheat, you have to examine them that they didn't split, they didn't swell up. Let's say you have a whole bag, and you know that in there may be some kernels that are not acceptable. The halach is, add more kernels, I mean, mevatel and b'shishim. I am mevatel nes l'chatchila. Says the Sharm Tzion Balocha, when are you doing this? You're doing this before Pesach. Before Pesach, there is no concept of chametz. Chametz is only a concept that's on Pesach, and that's why it's not considered bitl isl chatchila. Says the Gemara, Ulav Ashi, according to Rav Ashi, the Amakal Dov Sheish L'Matirin, that anything that will eventually be mutter. We learned the Gemara yesterday. Afil b'drabonin loy batl. So why do we rely on bitl isr? And take the good wood, timavatl, the muksdig wood, just wait for after yontif. Ma'ikalameim, because the aloch is that ach tachlena b'isr. Why get into Shilas? Tachlena beheter. Says the Gemara, Hani mili heichad isil isur be'enei. When do we say that we don't rely on bittel by Dovashesh Lamatirin? When the isser is still intact. Hacha, but here the isser is not intact. Because what am I doing with this wood? I'm burning it for fuel. Hachla mikli kali isura. I'm burning the wood. It's no longer intact. And therefore, here, given that it's a drabonon, I say bittel isil chatchila. That's why the Ramah, after learning this Gemara, says that when can we say bitl isl chatchila is very limited. Because the Gemara is saying that you have to have a number of qualifications. First of all, it has to be a drabonon. Number two, Taisus taught us that it has to be a drabonon that has no basis in the Torah. And number three, it has to be an isser that's going to get burnt up. That's not usually the case. That's why there's very few times that we could do bitl isl chatchila. And the Ramah says we never rely on bitl isl chatchila. I saw the Mishnah Berurah and the Bi'ur Halacha asked the following Shaila. The Gemara says that why here can I rely on bitl isl chatchila? Because we're burning up the wood. Why are we burning up the wood? Because we're using it for fuel, for baking, for cooking. Ask the Bi'ur Halacha, what would be the Halacha if I'm using the wood, not for baking or cooking, I'm using the wood to make a fire for illumination? Is that considered mikli kali, that I'm burning it up? Or mikli kali is only when I'm burning it up to affect something else? But when I need this fire for its own purpose to give illumination, that may not be called mikli kali asuri. The Mishnah Berurah stays with the tzarich ina in the Bi'ur Halacha on the Shaila. Before we begin the next Gemara, just a word of introduction. We know, we mentioned it earlier in today's shiur, that in our history, we've had, we in Chutz La'aretz keep 2 days of Yontif. But there were many different phases in history how this happened. The first phase was, how did this happen? We know that Bizman Shebeis Midrash Kayim, how did they establish when Rosh Chodesh was? Through Edom. When Edom came and said when the new month, because a Jewish month could be either 29 or 30 days, that means Rosh Chodesh of the next month could be either day 30 or 31. Edom came, Bezdin decided when Rosh Chodesh was, and how did they let everybody know? They didn't have telephones, emails, internet. They did Masiyin Masuas. They used to put on large torches, and they let everybody know when Yontif was, when Rosh Chodesh was, and they could figure out the whole month that way. And as the Mefarshim explained, almost everybody by then knew, through that method, knew when Rosh Chodesh was, because it was a very effective method. Then, as the Gemara will teach us in a moment, the Kutim wanted to sabotage. So they used to put on the flame on the wrong day. They couldn't rely on that. So what did they do? They had Shlichim go out and let people know when Bezdin designated Rosh Chodesh. And as the Rambam explains it beautifully in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, he says, not every month did they send out Edom, only months when there were Yom Tovim, so it was very relevant to know. The Rambam also discusses there that not every month is Yontif the same day. We'll discuss that more tomorrow, because Rosh Hashanah is the perfect example that is on Rosh Chodesh. But either other Yom Tovim, some Yom Tovim, Shavuos is 6 days in the month, Pesach is 15 days in the month. So they set up a standard till where the Edom come by a certain date, hold, we could rely on the Edom. Otherwise, anybody else didn't know, and they kept 2 days Misafik. Then there was a third Tekufa, the Tekufa of Elazar ben Pedas. It was very similar to the second Tekufa, but there's one little difference. In the second Tekufa, the reason people kept 2 days Yontif is because they didn't know. If they would have known, they would only keep 1 day. In the Tekufa of Elazar ben Pedas, they institutionalized it. That wherever Edom don't reach, you keep 2 days. Wherever Edom do reach, only have to keep 1 day. The fourth Tekufa is the Tekufa that we're in now. And that is where we have the Jewish calendar is very well established. And Hillel HaZaken established the calendar forever. And you can tell you whenever Rosh Chodesh is, whenever Yontif is. So why do we in Chutz La'aretz keep 2 days Yontif? Minig avaseinu b'yadeinu. And the Gemara explains, we're concerned that perhaps we'll forget learning and we'll forget when Yontif was established, when Rosh Chodesh was established, so we keep 2 days Yontif Sheni Shalgolius. The Meshech Chachma says a beautiful pshat. He says that Yontif Sheni Shalgolius is really a testimony to our belief in Mashiach. Why? He says, now when we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, when we don't have Mashiach, what do we rely on? On Hillel HaZaken. And we have everything established. So we really know when Yontif is. We really know when Rosh Chodesh is. But says the Meshech Chachma, Mashiach will come. Once Mashiach comes, we'll revert back to the old system. We'll revert back to the old system where we're relying on Edom. But we in Chutz La'aretz are following Hillel's calendar. But we shouldn't be following Hillel's calendar anymore. So because we believe that Mashiach could come any moment and our calendar will no be longer relevant, that's why we keep 2 days of Yontif. To believe the Mashiach is coming and our calendar is no longer relevant. Not as a machloikus. Machloikus Rambam and Ritva. So we're keeping 2 days Yontif, minig avaseinu b'yadeinu. But we learned that it isn't an issue of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. It's an issue where the Shlichim arrived. If the Shlichim arrived, Egypt would be a perfect example. Egypt is not far from Israel. So if the Shlichim arrived in Egypt, they only had to keep 1 day Yontif. And the Rambam Taka holds that way. If we know there's a place that Shlichim arrived, even though it's Chutz La'aretz, they only have to keep 1 day. The only question is, let's say there was a place we don't know what they did, Bizman Shebeis Midrash Yekayim. So there the Rambam says we make a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, if we don't know, we only hold 1 day. In Chutz La'aretz, if we don't know, we keep 2 days. The Ritva, which is the way we follow, the Ritva says differently. The Ritva says that in Chutz La'aretz, we keep 2 days everywhere, even in a place we know that the Shlichim arrived. And Eretz Yisrael, we keep 1 day now, even in a place we know that the Shlichim did not arrive. And that's the way we hold. So says the Gemara. Itmar. Shnei yom time shel Golius. The 2 days that we keep in Chutz Laretz of Yontif. Rav am enolda b'zeh meteres b'zeh. If egg was born the first day, it's mutter the next day. They consider two separate kedushas. Ravasi yom enolda b'zeh sur b'zeh. Leim k'sov Ravasi. Similarly, what does Ravasi hold? Kedusha achasi. That the 2 days of Yontif Sheni Shagoli, the 2 days of Yontif kept the Chutz Laretz, are one long Kedusha. Ask the Gemara, that's what Rav Asi holds? For Rav Asi Mavdol, Miyam Atayv L'Chavrei. Rav Asi, when he kept 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laretz, made Avdolah between the first day and the second day. So it's obvious that he holds that it's two separate Kedushas. Says the Gemara, Rav Asi Svuki Mesapkele. Rav Asi really had a Shaila. Is it one Kedusha, or is it two Kedushas? Vavar Hochel L'Chumra, so he always went l'chumra. He treated it like one day, and that's why day hanol de bezeh sur bezeh. On the other hand, he made havdalah. Ask all the mefarshim, how can he make havdalah? If it's one kedusha, it's a bracha levatalah. So how can he make havdalah? So I saw a number of answers. One is that he made havdalah, he said it in the Shemoneh Esrei, but he did not make the bracha of hamavdal ben kodesh l'chol. Just in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, he mentioned the concept of Avdolah. Another pshat I saw, that he didn't say Amavda ben Kodesh l'choil. He said Amavda ben Kodesh l'kodesh. And the third pshat that I saw is Rav Chanan. It says a beautiful pshat. Rav Asi says, you're right. It's a suffix of these 2 days is one Kedusha, two Kedushas, and perhaps the right thing to do is nothing. But Rav Asi says, Rav Chanan is the mandamin that says that if you don't make Avdolah on the first day, after you can make Avdolah, it's too late. So what do you want? He shouldn't make Avdolah on Matzi the first day. Wait till Matzi the second day. But according to Rav Asi, you can't make Avdolah then anymore. So since he had no choice, he made Avdolah Matzi the first day. We, however, paskin that you can wait. Preferably, you should make Avdolah right away. But if you don't, you have till 3 days. That's why we don't make Avdolah until Matzi the second day. Another reason we don't make Avdolah till Matzah the second day is because we're concerned that if you're going to make Avdolah between the first day and the second day, people are going to come not to treat the second day as Yontif. That's why we go so far as not to put on tefillin on the second day. Even though we know, let's say it's Achron Shel Pesach, or Simchas Torah, or the second day of Shavuos, we know really that it's not Yontif. We know, as we said before, we know the calendar. But just to protect the concept of Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, we go so far as not put on tefillin. On Rav Zeira, Kavasei de Rasi Mestaber. Rav Asi is correct. De Idna, Yadina Mekvi de Yarcha. We certainly know, as we said before, the calendar has been well established by Hillel, and yet, Kavdin and Trey Yoimi. So it's a proof that it's two separate Kedushas, and that's why it should be treated separately. Om Rabaya, Kavasei Rav Mestaber. The Aloch is like Rav, that it's two separate Kedushas. The Tanan, and we spoke about this. Rishon originally, how did they notify everybody when Rish Chodesh was? Hoy Masin Masuas. They used to light these torches. Mishakolkalo Akutim. Then the Kutim messed up that system. Hiskini Shei Shloichim Yoitzim. The Shluchim go out. Vilu bought the Kutim. Let's say we were able to go back, that we don't have to be concerned that the Kutim will ruin the system. Avdin Chajoyna. The Heich the Moti Shluchim. And the best proof is that wherever there are Shluchim, Avdin Chajoyna. So it's a proof that it's two separate kedushas. Says the Gemara, "Hashtu deidinim kfei de yarcha." Now that we taka know when Rosh Chodesh is, because we have Hillel's well-established calendar, my time of din and trei yoyma. Why do we have 2 days of Yontif and Chutz Laretz? Don't we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is? Don't we know exactly when Yontif is? Mishum the shalchem mitam. As we said, they sent the message. His haru b'minag avaseichem yideichem. The places in Chutz Laretz that kept 2 days, or according to Ritva, everywhere in Chutz Laretz should keep 2 days. Zimna the Gaz Malchus Gzeira. Chas v'shalom, the Malchus will not allow us to learn Torah. Vasil Kakule, and we'll lose the Cheshbin, we'll lose the calculation when Rosh Chodesh and Yontif is. That's why we should always keep 2 days Yontif, even now when we know that it's really when the right day is. But certainly, given that we know what Yontif is, and we're only doing it because it's Harav Minim Rav Seichem B'Yadeichem, teaches us Rav that these 2 days of Yontif are two separate Kedushas, and therefore, Nol de Bezeh, if the egg was born on the first day, Mataras Bezeh, it's certainly Mut on the second day of Yontif in Chutz Laretz.
Question? Where do you- Where does Rabasi say you have to make up the elephant?
Who else?
The elephant? What happened?
I thought
I'm sure that the Kedushas that are cooking at the Mar-Nike.